Amen, church. Would you join me in giving God some praise? Would you give him a hand? God is so good, and he is in this place. I want to invite you to be seated. My name is Reverend Brian Moore, and I'm blessed to be one of the pastors here at the church. And I want to also wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm wearing my green, and I'm looking out at all of you. And if you can call this green, right? Maybe more blue. I don't know. That's up for debate. But y'all, many of y'all are certainly wearing green. But you know, I'm going to give permission as a pastor. If you're sitting by someone who's not wearing green, just go ahead and pinch them. Give them a little pinch. No, I'm just joking. Don't do that. That'd be very awkward, especially for our visitors this morning, and we don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. If you are joining us for the first time, we are in a sermon series called Altered, and we're looking at how God's people, oftentimes, especially in the Old Testament, how they set up altars to remind themselves of times when they encountered God and were changed by him. And today's story in Jacob in Genesis is no different. And so if you would join me by turning, if you have your Bibles with you, to Genesis 32, the words will also be on the screen. I'll be reading verses 22 through 32 and also two verses from chapter 33. So friends, I invite you to hear the word of the Lord. It says, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed them there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Now I'm going to fast forward to chapter 33, verses 18 through 20. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it Elohi Israel. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God, and we say together, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we are so grateful to be in your house this morning. We give you thanks for your presence, and we give you thanks for your word that speaks to us even today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our minds, open up our hearts to be able to hear your word and receive it. And God, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. We pray all of this in the name of the one who is our rock, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. So have you ever wrestled with change before? Maybe it was something that you experienced or encountered in your life. Maybe it was something that we've had to wrestle together with as a church. For me personally, I wrestle with change when I have to change my plans, when I have to change the things that I've planned. For example, say me and my daughter or my family, we go to, we have this fun day plan, and so we're going to the park to hike or to ride bikes, which we often do. And the weather changes. It goes from being a beautiful day to a storm coming in. Well, I'm the kind of person that I want to just stick with the plans. You know, hell or high water, we're going to do what we plan, regardless of what happens. And there have been many times when we've been out hiking or riding our bikes, and it just downpours on us, torrential downpour. There was even one time when it started hailing on us. And my wife is like, you're never making plans again because you don't know how to change them. But that's me. And you know, my wife does not like that fact about me. But there are many reasons that we can wrestle with change, aren't there? For some of us, it might be because we're holding on to something that is comfortable or what we've known. Like when you have to move away for the first time to go to college, or you're going to school and the first time to be away from home, or when you're in the doctor's office and they tell you, you're going to have to change your diet. My doctor told me that recently, and I didn't want to hear that because that means I have to eat a bunch of things that I do not want to eat. Or when you finally reach retirement and it means that you have to adjust your whole routine, you have to do all kinds of and learn all kinds of new things. You know, there are so many different reasons that we may wrestle with change. We may wrestle with it because of the unknowns involved with the change. When I had to move from Southwest Houston and A-Leaf up to Conroe, this was when I was in sixth grade, that was a really big change for me. And there was a lot of unknowns involved. You know, what was my school going to be like? Would I be able to make friends easily? What was the culture like? And I just want to say the culture from urban Southwest Houston to Conroe is drastically different. For starters, I had to learn to talk with an accent. Actually, that just kind of came naturally. I just absorbed that. But I wasn't expecting that I had to learn to like country music. I know Joshua loves country music, but I found that I love George Strait. Any George Strait fans out there? Hey, that gets a hand clap. Amen, right? George Strait is awesome. So is Jesus too, right? We can clap for him too. But yeah, George Strait, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. So there are many reasons that we may wrestle with change. But for Jacob, the main character in our scripture passage this morning, he had to wrestle with change when he finally had to face his past. If you know anything about Jacob, you know that Jacob had a very shady past. Jacob's past was filled with bad decisions and mistakes, and those things, that baggage that he was carrying, was preventing him from changing and becoming the person that God wanted him to become. But as we'll see, it's when Jacob finally faces his past that God sets him free to live in the present. Okay, so let's remind ourselves on who Jacob is. You may remember that Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You may remember that, well, Isaac was his father. You may remember that Jacob had a twin brother named Esau who was born just a few minutes before him. And when Jacob was born, he came out, you know, it says grasping the heel of Esau because I think Jacob wanted to be the firstborn, probably a lot more than Esau did, as we see will play out in the story. But Esau was the firstborn. And so that meant that Esau would be the recipient of certain privileges, certain blessings. He would receive the birthright and the family blessing. And to receive the birthright meant that he would receive a double portion of the inheritance. And he would also one day become the leader of the whole family. But as we'll see, God had a different plan, as God often does, doesn't he? Because God chose Jacob, the younger son, instead of Esau. Now, when we look at Jacob's story, we see that this kind of plays out in several ways. First, Jacob tricks Esau into trading his birthright for some stew. Yeah, you heard that right. Jacob or Esau traded his birthright, all of these privileges and blessings that we talked about, for some stew. Now, that's dumb, isn't it? That's, you could say dumb in church. That's dumb. That's short-sighted. But Jacob gets the birthright. And then later, Jacob tricks Esau out of his blessing. And you may remember this story. Isaac, he knows he's about to die and to go be buried with his ancestors. And so he wants to pass on his blessing to his older son, Esau. Now, Rachel, who is Jacob's mom, catches wind of this. And she brings her son, Jacob, together. And they develop a plot. Because one of the problems is that Jacob is not a hairy person, and Esau is very hairy. If you remember, it says that Esau had a lot of red hairs, very hairy man. Jacob was not. Isaac was blind, and so they developed this plot that Jacob would dress up, pretend to be Esau by wrapping wool around his arms, and then he would go into and see his father pretending to be Esau, And because he was blind, what happened was Isaac reached out, touched. He was like, are you sure this is my son, Esau? And he felt Jacob's arms and felt the wool. And he said, okay, you're Esau. So Isaac gave Jacob Esau's blessing. And of course, this ticks Esau off. And Esau wants to kill him. And so Jacob, he has to flee. He goes to live with his uncle Laban. He goes outside of the promised land, mind you, the land that God had promised his ancestors and his family to dwell in. He has to go outside of the promised land because he's hiding from his brother out of fear of what he might do. And it's there that Jacob gets married. As we read, he had two wives. That's not really good. But Jacob has multiple children, which is good. And it says that God richly blesses him while he's living with his uncle Laban. Now, I think it's good to note, to pause here in the story and to note something. Because despite Jacob's mistakes, despite all of his sins, God kept blessing Jacob. God kept blessing Jacob, not when he was getting everything right, but God kept blessing Jacob even when he kept getting things wrong. And I don't know about you, but maybe you can look at your history of your life and see times when you weren't getting it right, but that God was still blessing you. When God was lavishing his love and his grace and his mercy upon you, despite yourselves, despite even when you didn't deserve it. So I want to point that out because even before Jacob had his big moment of transformation that we're leading to, God's grace was all over his life. And I know the same is true for our lives. No matter where we find ourselves this morning, no matter where we're in the high or low of life, God's grace is all over our lives. Sometimes we just got to know where to find it. And so for 20 years, Jacob lived in exile. He's hiding from his brother. And I can imagine that during that time of living in exile, that Jacob is carrying around some really heavy baggage. He's carrying around the weight of the guilt of wronging his father and wronging his brother. He's carrying around this anxiety and fear of what his brother Esau will do to him if he finally catches up to him. And on top of all of that, he's carrying around this reputation of being a deceiver. And I can imagine that all of that baggage that he's carrying began to haunt him. And so God knew that it was time for Jacob to deal with this baggage, to face his past. And so God calls Jacob. He tells him to pack up all of your children, all of your belongings, and he says, it's time to head home. It's time for you to face your past. And Jacob obeys. Now you can imagine that Jacob is filled with anxiety about going back home. And in the story, Jacob is about to encounter, he's about to meet his brother Esau. After 20 years of not speaking with him or seeing him, he's about to meet with him the next morning. And it says that that night, before he was about to meet with his brother, he could not sleep. Have any of you ever been there before? You're trying to sleep at night, and there's this weight of anxiety. Maybe you're overwhelmed with fear or stress or worry about something you got to do the next day. That's how I feel every night when I got to preach the next day, by the way. So I know what that feels like. But maybe you do too. And that's where Jacob finds himself. And I think this explains what the Bible says happens next. And this is where the story takes a very strange turn, because it says that Jacob wrestled all night long. If you're reading the story, it just kind of comes out of nowhere and you can just quickly pass by it. It says, Jacob wrestled all night long. Well, what was he wrestling with? Well, I think certainly he was wrestling with this weight of guilt and fear and anxiety like we've already talked about. But the scripture says that he wrestled with a mysterious man. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't normally go around wrestling random people. Any of you do that? I don't wrestle grown men. I wrestle my children all the time. And I usually win, right? Usually, except when they all three attack me at once. But it's just weird. It's just a weird, weird story. But if you think that's weird, things get even weirder, because it says that the man that he was wrestling was not just a man, not just a mere mortal, but that it was an angel of the Lord. Some commentators will say that this might be one of the appearances of the incarnate Christ. You know, whether it was Jesus here or whether this was an angel, it's not really a fair fight, right? Not really a fair fight. Jacob, he seems to recognize that he's face to face with God. And so finally, after some time, he grabs hold of the man and he says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." You know, I wonder, have we ever been that desperate for God before? Or say we were in prayer, "God, I will not let you go until you bless me. God, I will not let you go until you deliver me from this sin or addiction in my life. God, I will not let you go until you heal my marriage or reconcile this broken relationship. God, I will not let you go. I know I've been praying for this thing for weeks or months or maybe even years, but God, I'm not going to let you go until you intervene in this situation." And so the angel, he sees Jacob's determination and he blesses him. Now I want you to notice something else I think is important here. Before God blesses Jacob, God humbles him. He humbles him. And this was demonstrated, I think, by the angel touching Jacob's hip and setting it out of socket. Now, why would God do this? Again, this is another strange part in the story. But why does God do this? Well, I think it was to weaken him. Because God wanted Jacob to acknowledge his weakness. He wanted him to finally come to grips with his past. He wanted him to acknowledge his past sins and mistakes. He wanted him to acknowledge this destructive pattern of deceitfulness that had been wrecking his life and ruining the relationships in his life. And it was only after Jacob acknowledged his past and took responsibility for it that it says that God blessed him. And God blessed him by giving him a new name and giving him a new identity. You see, what God was, I think, saying to Jacob was, Jacob, you know, the name Jacob means deceiver. And God was saying, "Jacob, no more. No more will you be known as a deceiver. No more will you be a deceiver because I'm going to change you. I'm here to transform you from the inside out." And so he says, "From now on, you will be called Israel." And that name Israel means to wrestle with God or to struggle with God. And I think it's such a fitting name because it was when Jacob struggled with God and finally faced his past that he was able to lay down this baggage that he had been carrying, this guilt, his sins, his shame. And he was able to receive God's forgiveness. And he was able to be set free from all of that so that he can claim his true identity in God. Friends, I believe that all of this had to happen before Jacob could face his brother Esau. And when Jacob finally faced his brother, what happened? Well, it was the opposite of what Jacob expected. Jacob expected for his brother to pour out his wrath upon him, and rightly so for all that he had done. But it says that Esau welcomed Jacob with a loving embrace. And so to celebrate all of these wonderful things that God had done in his life and was doing, Jacob built an altar. And we've been talking about all Lenten season, how God's people built altars to mark times when God showed up in their lives. And for Jacob, the altar would remind him how God set him free from his past so that he could fully live into the person that God created him to be. Because God did not create Jacob to be a deceiver. God did not intend for Jacob to live outside the promised land. But who was Jacob in God's eyes? He was an heir of the covenant that God made with Abraham. These same blessings and promises that God gave Abraham and then Abraham passed on to his son, or God gave to Abraham, God was wanting to give to Jacob. You see, Jacob was learning that his identity was not defined by his past, but by God's promises. I want to repeat that because I think it's important. Jacob was learning that his identity was not defined by his past. It was not defined by all of that baggage back there, by all of his mistakes, by his shame, by his guilt, but it was defined by God's promises, by who God said he was. And friends, I think there are many of us here this morning that need to hear that message. Because Jacob's story is our story. And God wants to give us the same blessings and offer us the same things that he offered Jacob. You know, you may not have been a deceiver like Jacob was, or you may not have, you know, stolen your brother's birthright, but we have all sinned, haven't we? The Bible says that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. And sometimes, you know, maybe those mistakes are big mistakes. And maybe those mistakes, they follow us around and they affect our reputation. They affect what people think about us, what people say about us. They affect our character. Or maybe there's this destructive pattern in your life that you can see throughout your past has wreaked havoc in your relationships with the people that you've loved. Or maybe it's that you're here this morning and you just feel like you're carrying this weight, this guilt, this shame, this anxiety from something that happened in your past, or maybe something that was done to you. Friends, the Bible says in the book of James that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so you can experience this freedom today by humbling yourself, by facing your past, by confessing whatever it is that might be on your mind this morning so that you can receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and there's been a lie that you've been believing about yourself. There's a lie that maybe was spoken over you as a child, and maybe it's come to define you. It's become a self-fulfilling prophecy in your life. Maybe it's something that you've just picked up along the way. Either way, you know it doesn't line up with what God says about you. Friends, if that's you, will you, like Jacob, reject the lie and claim the truth? Claim your identity in Christ. The identity that says that you are loved, you are forgiven, you are accepted, you are a child of God. Do y'all believe this about yourselves? The identity that says that you are a heir with Christ. I always say heir, an heir with Christ. An identity that says that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That means that you have access to Christ. Each one of us, if we are a believer, we have access to the heavenly realms. And all of these richly blessings, go read Ephesians. All of those blessings that God has poured out upon Christ and upon the church are available to you. This is who you are. Do you believe it, church? If so, will you claim it? Will you walk in your God-given identity? I don't care what happened in your past. I don't care what other people say about you. Like Jacob, let go of that baggage. Lay it down. Today is the morning. Today is a day to lay that stuff down and to walk out of here free from all of that. To walk into the freedom of who God has created you to be. And so, friends, in just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to respond to this message. And that opportunity is to respond to God in prayer. Whether that's from your seats, you can pray right from your seats. If you want to come kneel and pray, there's something powerful when we humble ourselves. Or, what I think is just as powerful, if not maybe more, is when we confess that baggage that we're carrying, that guilt, that shame, to another believer. Or we confess that lie that we've been holding on to when we know it's not true. And there's power when we do that to another believer and they can say to us face to face, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. There's power when we confess that lie and they can say, that's not who God created you to be. And they can speak over you how God sees you. And so friends, however God may be calling you to respond this morning, I want to invite you to respond to what God is doing, what God is saying to you personally, individually. And so in just a moment, Angela's going to play, Craig's going to play. And if you feel led to pray, wherever that is, whatever's meaningful for you, you're invited to come. I want to invite our prayer ministers, those that are here, they would love to pray with you. Again, there's power in speaking those things out loud and then to hear the truth speaking over you. Friends, let us continue in worship as we respond to God in prayer.